Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and it's time for our weekly Powering Your Property segment. And over the last few weeks, we've taken a look at the impact of COVID-19 on the resale market and property pricing in the industrial and commercial sectors. This week, we're going to take a closer look at the impact of COVID-19 on the rental market, more specifically, the expat rental market. And we're joined by Lee Quain, Regional Director of Asia at ECA International, to do so. Hi, Lee. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome, Rachel. Thanks for having me.
So, Lee, I want to start off. ECA has just come out with a new report that showed that rents for expats has increased for the first time in 5 years here in Singapore. Can you tell us what are some of the contributing factors to that?
Before I do so, I think one of the important things that I'd like to say on the matter is the data was collected at the end of 2019. So obviously the impact of the coronavirus and how this is impacting the economy in Singapore was not felt in this data. If we were looking at the reasons for the rise up until the end of last year, this was largely due to an increase in demand. So we saw over the course of 2019 an increase in relocations of middle to senior level expatriate management staff, primarily in some of the sectors which we've seen grow quite a lot in Singapore in recent years, so particularly the pharmaceutical and the fintech sector. But also we saw indirect impact on Singapore due to the social political environment in Hong Kong, where we saw an increase in relocations of expatriate executives from Hong Kong through to Singapore, as well as not just expatriates, but also local Hong Kongers who were choosing to escape the relative political uncertainty of Hong Kong towards a more stable economic and political environment in Singapore.
Lee, can you tell us how significant was that increase? I mean, what kind of numbers are we looking at in terms of expats or people from Hong Kong moving to Singapore?
We didn't really have there's no empirical or rather imperial indication of the actual numbers. It's more based on anecdotal evidence. But based on our conversations with many of our clients, many of the large multinational companies that we work with, they either chose to relocate a few, not all, but a few critical employees to Singapore, as well as many companies faced requests from employees themselves to also relocate. So it's not possible to provide an actual absolute number, but it's more based on anecdotal evidence that we received from conversations with our clients.
Okay, so before we dive in a little bit deeper into what's happening with COVID-19 and the impact on the rental market, maybe you can tell us a little bit about where Singapore is positioned at the moment and how we compare to other regional markets before we start to look forward.
Okay, absolutely. So in terms of Singapore's positioning, based on the latest research, rents went up not by a significant amount, but nonetheless, they went up by around 2% in 2019 versus 2018. And that was the first increase that we had seen in Singapore for a relatively long period of time. In spite of that, Singapore still remains more reasonably priced in terms of accommodation in most major expatriate destinations in Asia. So it comes in as being the ninth most expensive location for accommodation in Asia. And this is behind, obviously, a location such as Hong Kong, which comes in as being the most expensive, followed by major locations in Japan, such as Tokyo, for example, as well as China's two major international locations, Shanghai and Beijing. And it's even, it's even lower in the rankings than Mumbai in India, which is surprising to many. It was surprising to us based on our initial findings. But that's reflective of the fact that although Mumbai is in a relatively low-cost location, being India, because of demand and supply issues in India, and particularly in Mumbai, expatriate accommodation or accommodation of a quality suitable for expatriates is in rather short supply, which explains the relatively high costs there.
Okay, and you mentioned an increase of about 2%, and that's the first time in 5 years. So how have the numbers been trending before that? I mean, 2% isn't a huge gain.
No, it's not a huge gain. again. And rents were trending downward before that. And I think in that case, it was largely an impact of an increase in supply, because expatriate numbers in Singapore have continued to... Maybe they haven't grown at the rates that we saw maybe five or more years ago, but they still are relatively stable, increasing at a relatively gradual pace, particularly at the kind of like the higher ends of the expatriate worker level in Singapore. And so the main reason for the falls up until last year were largely, I think, due to the impact of supply side issues in Singapore and an increase in supply of suitable accommodation coming onto the market over the course of the last 5 years.
So going forward, Lee, I mean, I understand that ECA, you've been publishing the accommodation report for more than 20 years. And this means you must have some reference to how markets responded to SARS. Can you tell us a little bit more about the data that you saw from that period of time and what insights you might have for us in terms of where the rental market may be headed?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of, if we look particularly, or if we do a comparison particularly based on comparison with COVID now in 2020 and SARS back in 2003, SARS did have a significant impact on accommodation costs or property markets in both Hong Kong and Singapore, which were obviously two of the locations most severely affected by the pandemic back in 2003. And obviously this was accompanied by major corrections. We saw in Hong Kong, for example, accommodation costs falling quite significantly by around 15 to 20% in 1 year alone. And similarly, we saw similar scales of decline in Singapore, but not so much. At the same time, we also saw that 15 to 20% was more based on the sale and purchase values of properties. We also saw rents fall at a relatively significant rate in both Hong Kong and Singapore back in 2003 as well. So we are probably expecting to see a decrease in accommodation costs over the course of 2020, and this is going to be primarily due to the impact of COVID on the economies of Singapore and Hong Kong, for example. But we don't think that the scale will be, or rather the scale of the decline in rents will be as much as they were back in 2003. And there's a couple of reasons for this, but the main reason is because governments as well as financial institutions seem to have made a more concerted and a faster effort to try and help the economy. So, for example, we've seen banks offering mortgage holidays to landlords. So because of this, landlords are not in so much of a... they're not so pressured in terms of meeting mortgage payments. Mm-hmm. So that means that we're unlikely to see fire sales of properties. And as such, that's not going to lead to an increase in supply of accommodation on the market, which therefore is probably going to have an impact on rents. Likewise, at the same time as mortgage holidays, we've seen that in many locations, banks have actually reduced interest rates. This means that when they reduce interest rates, in tandem with this, there'll be a fall in mortgage rates, which means that landlords, in terms of their mortgage payments, will probably reduce. They'll be more tolerant of declines in their rents because of the fact that their mortgage payments or their outgoing will also fall at the same time. So because of this, we'll probably see a decline, but not as much as what we saw in 2003 in terms of the impact of SARS.
Okay, and we're speaking to Lee Quinn, Regional Director Asia at ECA International. So Lee, I want to ask you, looking at ECA International, and given that you specialise in mobility and helping companies find solutions for their employees, what impact do you think this current environment will have on your business?
So in terms of employee mobility, there has obviously been a significant impact. We have seen that there are obviously different types of employee mobility. There's business travel, there's short-term assignments, and by short-term assignments, I would mean anything where an employee is sent to a host location for 1 year or less. There's long-term assignments and there's permanent transfers where a person is relocated to a host location on a one-way basis. Now, COVID-19 has had a significant impact on both business travel and short-term assignments. So what we see here is that there's an impact on accommodation costs, both hotels and short-term service departments, for example. But in terms of long-term assignments, well, we'll probably see a slowdown in the rates at which long-term assignments will increase. We haven't seen that fall in their usage as much as we've seen in terms of short-term assignments and business travel. And in fact, I think what's happening with COVID is it's showing that it's more important now more than ever to actually have people in the locations in which companies operate on a more permanent basis. So we think that companies are possibly going to likely to revert back to their model of sending staff on long-term assignments of 1 year or more because of the disruptions that we've seen COVID-19 cause in terms of business travel and employee mobility on a short-term basis. We see that companies are more likely to revert back to their pattern of sending staff more on a more permanent or long-term basis that we've seen in years gone by.
And that's interesting because, you know, we've seen huge take up of platforms such as Zoom where people can work more remotely. But you're saying that, you know, long term international assignments would kind of be the state of play going forward rather than your STIAs, your short term international assignments. But I want to ask you, you know, closer to where we are now, a lot of HR professionals may be looking at how they're managing their employee mobility more responsibly. Some staff members may be looking to repatriate if they're concerned about the current COVID situation in the market that they're in at the moment. And I know that you wrote a blog on this recently. What are some of the key considerations here and how should GMs or hiring managers handle this situation? I mean, is this still even an issue with many countries in lockdown at the moment?
That's a very good point. The issue associated with repatriation has been at the minds of many of our clients since this situation kind of came about from China in early January. So at the outset of COVID, we did see a lot of clients, and in response to the requirements of expatriate employees, repatriating staff back from places like China, back to places obviously such as Singapore, Hong Kong, and even further afield such as Europe, North America, and so on. Now, obviously, that's no longer a viable situation in many cases because of the closure of many locations in terms of their ability to fly from one location to another, lockdowns which have been put in place as well, and also the ability of people to seek medical help, for example, if they were back in their home location. We're actually seeing companies saying that to their employees, well, if they're actually currently in place in the host location, it's probably better for them to stay put and obviously take the necessary measures that they can in order to reduce the likelihoods that they will obviously catch it in the host location. But for when companies do have staff who are concerned, then it is important that they maintain very clear and present lines of communication with their employees. So making sure that their employees who are on assignment, who may have family members back in their home locations who they are fearful for, that they're able to maintain regular communications with family back in the home location, that also the HR managers provide very good communication in terms of what the company is doing in order to ensure that the employees themselves who are on assignment are being well looked after.
So basically everybody needs to stay home, stay safe, and make sure they're adhering to their social distancing measures. Well, thank you very much for your time, Lee. We've been speaking to Lee Quain, Regional Director Asia at ECA International.
Thank you.
Yep, keep safe and stay healthy, Lee.
You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.